Good morning. Thanks for letting me share a message with you today. If you don't know me, my name is Dani Langston, and I grew up here at East County. And I brought my partner, Boone, and my two children, Jordy and Charlie, along. And we lived our whole adult life here as a part of this community until about 3.5 years ago.
Yeah.
When we moved to Billund, Denmark.
Hey, Jan.
Boone and I are working on
the internet.
There. And as much as we.
Brian is here.
I'm sorry.
Brian is here to pick up some cans. I'm going to get a bag of.
How are you?
This is my husband, Tim. He's kind of dead.
I see y'all. How's your little dog?
Oh, he's doing great.
I'm sorry, I'm listening to something on the computer.
Oh, you're okay.
And miss you.
I can sound off. I was in the Army.
There, I turned it off. I turned it off.
In the ways
yeah. Are you doing okay?
Oh, yeah.
It's great.
God bless me with the band.
Where are you staying?
God bless me with the band.
He can't hear.
I'm sorry. It's my hearing is really bad.
Oh, yeah. You're okay.
Yeah.
He's
okay. I'm okay.
I'll close him in on what's going on.
I love this lady. She has a good heart.
Oh, yeah. She's nice.
This is a good guy here. So everybody's good.
You know, our little cotton, the little white dog that we used to walk passed away this year. We miss him. Oh, he always barked at you.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Dude and cotton were always kind of squirming off.
Take care of yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Are you warm enough?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, God bless me with the band.
Okay. All right.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Well, try to have a good Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
God bless you.
All right.
Sometimes change is unwanted.
Take care.
And full of grief. But many times, I think we're not exactly sure where to place our feelings.
Hey, Sarah.
How to encounter these changing moments, and we certainly can't paint them all one color. Grief or joy, pain or relief, anger or justice.
Hey there.
This Christmas story is one.
Can you give me just a second?
Well.
Give me just a second.
At its essence, we've placed it as a story of hope and love. And I promise I'll get there. I would never want to take hope and love away from you in the final week of Advent. But I don't believe we spend enough time considering the other feelings, the other colors that we could paint as part of this mysterious story. In the story leading up to Jesus's birth, the news starts to spread. Something is about to happen that is supposed to change everything. As we follow the story along the road that ends with a manger and a baby, I want to offer a closer look at three responses to this life-changing news. Don't turn the page yet. Mary, who sings a song of hope and belief. Joseph, who turns away and then turns towards. And shepherds, who take a long walk in the dark. Let's start with Mary, since she's the first to hear the news, as expectant mothers usually are. And this moment of change will certainly impact her life most of all. In another account of Jesus's birth from Luke, we're told that upon hearing the news that she will bear a child of the Holy Spirit, Mary's response is, if you don't mind my paraphrase, "I'm on it, let's go." In reality, she says something that's translated to, "I'm the Lord's servant, may your word be fulfilled." But in short, she believes and is ready to embrace difficult change for the good that will be to come. Imagine, if you're able, what it might have been like to be Mary in her social location. Female, young, unmarried, and pregnant in a highly religious and patriarchal society. She had every right to be terrified, every right to be silent with this news, every right to hide herself away from a society that would certainly reject her in this state, to shake her fist at her God and demand to know why she was being lowered from her already low place. Instead, Mary goes and she finds another woman, her cousin Elizabeth, and almost unbelievably decides to sing a song. We heard about it last week, Mary's song. It's one of our most beloved songs to sing some 2,000 years later, but I wonder if we ever take the time to consider how borderline absurd Mary's response is to this news that will change her life. My soul glorifies the Lord, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. In the book, God of the Oppressed, James Cone declares that the Magnificat, or Mary's song, is the very expression of God's divine purpose and plan for the world. In this imagination, the thoughts of the proud, which are traditionally prioritized, have been scattered. The rich, who have never wanted for any need to be met, have lost their seats of power and been sent away empty. This idea feels preposterous in Mary's day, and to be quite honest, in our day as well. If this is God's intention for the world, why don't we see the proud thoughts being scattered, the corrupt in power losing their seat and being sent away empty? It can feel almost foolish to maintain hope that this can truly be. But if we keep watching Mary and listening to her song, we can hear this imagination of hope, of what we do not yet see or experience. Mary claims this imagination as truth, even as she has not yet experienced it. And what then of the oppressed? If, as James Cone suggests, Mary is singing in the content of God's purpose for the world, the humble have been lifted and the hungry filled with good things. Mary knows everything is about to be turned on its head. Nothing will be quite like it was before. And instead of fear and leaning into status quo, familiar power structures, and knowing her place, Mary embraces the changes that are to come. She believes in hope that change is necessary and can be for the best. Scattering the thoughts of the proud, lifting the humble, finally looking at those who are hungry for food or for justice or for peace, and filling them with good things. To believe hard moments can lead to change for the better and sing a song of hope. Hallelujah, a faithful response in the midst of change. Now let's consider the response of another character on this road, Joseph. This is certainly a life-changing moment for him as well. Mary was found to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, being a righteous man, planned to divorce her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel came to Joseph in a dream. The angel told him that the child was from the Holy Spirit, and when Joseph woke up, he took Mary as his wife. As I read this text, I had to wonder, do you think Mary told Joseph that she had not been unfaithful to him and found herself pregnant under these mysterious circumstances? While we can't know for sure, I have to assume she probably did. But again, because of Mary and Joseph's social location, it was perfectly reasonable for a woman to not be believed and for a man to have the ultimate deciding vote on what would happen to her. In this moment, when everything changed between Joseph and his fiancée Mary, and all seemed to be in a cloud of unsureness, Joseph turned away. He turned away from Mary, knowing that even to divorce her quietly would have a profound impact on her freedom and the life she could have going forward. He did not immediately believe, letting this change wash over his life and then sing a great song of hope as Mary did. Instead, he decided to leave her and this situation as a whole. He was, as the text says, resolved to do this, decided, sure, even as I imagined it pained him, until, miraculously, Joseph kept listening. I don't know why he couldn't believe it from Mary, and truthfully, we can't know for sure what she told him about this mystery. But what our text does tell us is that an angel came to Joseph, told him not to be afraid, confirmed that the child was of the Holy Spirit, and when Joseph woke up, he had listened. In a radical act we all too rarely see in this world, Joseph reconsidered. He went from turning away from Mary to turning back toward her. When Joseph woke up, he took Mary as his wife. Author and researcher Brené Brown famously says that to change your mind is one of the most vulnerable acts we can do as human beings. Brown says that the brave step of admitting you might not see the whole picture of a situation or reconsidering your stance after continued listening is the birthplace of innovation, creativity, and change. Or, to use one of my favorite phrases in this kind of work, your first thought doesn't have to be your last thought. Your initial feeling doesn't have to be your final feeling. The decision you feel resolved to make can still go another way. Brené Brown is also quick to explain why people are hesitant to change their mind. First, it's scary. It means letting go of being right or being perfect, which is what our society tends to reward. Secondly, changing your mind is courageous. It takes guts to say, I see this differently now, rather than digging your heels in to protect your ego. And finally, changing your mind is authentic. It can be easier to go along with a story someone is telling you or feel the need to stay locked in one particular way of thinking. To change your mind is to embrace your evolution as a person and let yourself be moved by the deeply felt lived experiences of others as you listen. When a life-changing moment came to pass, Joseph turned away. He turned away and stood resolved in the way his world works. But then Joseph continued to listen, reconsidered, and turned back toward the very person and the very situation that threatened to upturn everything he knew and the systems that kept him safe. Hallelujah, a faithful response in the midst of change. Finally, let's consider one more response to this life-changing story, shepherds. In Luke's account of Jesus' birth, we're introduced to some shepherds keeping their flocks in the night. When they receive the news that Jesus has come and everything is about to change, their response is to take a long walk in the dark. They don't wait for the sun to rise. They don't hold back until the way is clear and bright. They just started walking through the dark and toward whatever hope is drawing them ahead. In Denmark, we know about the dark. In the winter, which is now, we wake up in the dark. We ride our bikes to school in the dark. We do the first chunk of our workday in the dark. And on the way home from school, we watch the sun sink. Everyone takes hefty doses of vitamin D from October to April because there is no possible way for our bodies to contain enough. Our very first winter in Denmark, I asked around, how do people bear it? Between the dark and the cold, people are driven into their homes more. Isolation would be easy to slip into. But what I received from Danish friends and fellow expats was that Danes embrace the dark. Instead of resisting and resenting it, wishing the dark away, Danes hang their winter hats on some of the very best parts of life. A common mindset is that you invest in relationships in the months of the sun so that you can lean on those close-knit people in the months of darkness. In the dark, we slow down. We pay more attention. It's a chance to look at who we really are and the lives we really have. What we've built in the sun can be tested in the dark. Who do we stay with? Who do we continue to gather around, and who gathers around us? In the dark, Danes are also famous for lighting lots of candles. For even in the dark, we remember and give ourselves glimpses of the light. We know the sun will come again, but what we can learn in the dark can absolutely change our lives. Maybe these shepherds understood this as well, because upon hearing the news that the world would never be quite the same again, they took a long walk through the dark. Hallelujah, a faithful response in the midst of change. East County, I know that you are in a place of change. And some transition. I know you're looking at hard things and engaging in vulnerable, potentially life-changing conversations and self-reflection. I know it can't be painted just one color. It can't be placed in a neat box and labeled with one word or feeling. When faced with a moment you didn't anticipate and now sit with, I hope you can look at our characters in the Christmas story today and find inspiration, maybe even find yourself. If you're like Mary, singing a song of belief and hope in the good of what's to come, hallelujah to you, a faithful response in the midst of change. We need you to imagine and tell us of the world we do not yet see. Sing us into the reality of oppressed being lifted up, heard, and believed. The humble and the hungry being filled with the good things they have waited and yearned for all too long. If you are like Joseph and turned away before you could turn toward, went from resolved to listening to reconsideration to reconciliation, hallelujah to you, a faithful response in the midst of change. We need you to model the vulnerability and bravery that the world will not reward. Show us what it looks like to keep listening and see things another way. Say to us, I see this differently now, and know that you can always turn toward, even if you initially turned away. If you are like the shepherds and you are still taking a long walk in the dark toward hope, hallelujah to you, a faithful response in the midst of change. Keep gathering around those you knitted to yourself in the sun and letting them gather around you. Let what you built in the sun be tested in the dark. Believe it will hold. Look for and create glimpses of the light, and just keep walking toward the hope you know you're headed towards. Because here's the good news of the Christmas story in this last week of Advent. They all got there. They all ended up around the manger with the baby. Mary who believed, Joseph who turned away and then turned toward, shepherds who took a long walk in the dark. They all arrived, no matter how they got there. Hope and love won the day. Wherever you find yourself in this final week of Advent, I hope you see yourself in this larger story of hope and love that is not dependent on perfect or universal responses in the midst of hard things. Hallelujah and amen.